Southside Johnny, hello.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, except I didn't get to sleep till around 5:30 this morning, so.
Well, thank you for waking up 3.5 hours later for me.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
So, actually, how do I address you? Do I call you Johnny? Do I call you Southside? Or is it a properly Southside Johnny?
Either one is fine with me. I don't care what anybody calls me. I've been called all sorts of things.
Well, we're going to call you Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes on Sunday night because you're coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse.
Yeah, we love playing there.
Yeah, you usually come through about once a year or so.
Yeah, I think we've done it a couple of times some years. But, you know, after the tens of thousands of shows I've done, I can't remember everything.
Actually, you've been all over the world. Did I just read you just came back from Sweden?
Yeah, Sweden, Norway. We went through Copenhagen, Denmark, Frankfurt, Germany, and then we went to Florida. Who figures this stuff out? I don't know.
All right, so Sweden, Norway, what are those audiences like compared to, like, you know, the traditional sort of East Coast audiences for you?
They're great. They're really enthusiastic. These are a couple of festivals that were indoor festivals, you know, because they have to do something in the winter. Their winter lasts until, you know, June. But we had a great time, and they drink a lot because it's so gray and cold and all for months and months and months. And so we had a couple of drunk guys yelling at us the whole thing. I mean, they were enjoying themselves. But, you know, you're trying to say something, and they're going, and you realize that you're not in control of anything right now.
They're clearly having a good time. What songs do they go for? Are they as into it as the traditional Jersey Shore audience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're very knowledgeable over there. They know what they're doing. And they like the older songs, but they also like the thumpers. They like if we do something fast and loud, they love that.
I was checking out some of the set lists from the shows over there. You guys change up the set list every single night.
No, it's not really about a show. It's about going out and making music and finding what you want to do, what the audience wants to do, with what you feel like, how they feel. So you change things every night. You kind of read the audience, read your own self. I mean, if I feel like I want to do a lot of fast songs, we'll do fast songs. And if I see the audience getting restless, then, you know, we'll do a waltz. I don't care. But it really is about finding the night.
So you're changing it up on stage, on the fly. Like basically, has it always been that way, even when you were starting out in the 70s in New Jersey?
Yeah, well, that's the upbringing you have when you play at all the clubs and bars. To really please the people, you can't do the same thing night after night. People won't come back. You have to learn how to do what they want to hear, but also you have to indulge yourself. And that's just something I learned way long ago. And I've always wanted to do it that way. I suppose you've seen certain bands and they do the same set list I saw 2 years ago. And I think, what fun is that? There's no fun. There's no spontaneity. It's not really making music so much as just playing songs. And I want a little more than that.
The very first time you performed Having a Party, did you realize what you had? Did you realize you struck gold?
Yeah. Steve and I were going through some Sam Cooke songs. We did a number of them. Saturday night, you know, I'm trying to think of multiple ones. But we said, let's do this, and we rearranged it, and we played it one night. I think it's a pony, but it could have been somewhere else. And the audience just got up and started dancing right away, and everybody was singing along with the refrain. It just, we knew that this was going to be a signature song for them.
Do you have any idea how many times you've performed it?
Oh, thousands. I don't know, really. I don't want to think about it.
So, you know, I'm looking back through your career, and I came across something I don't think I ever realized, although it makes perfect sense. You were considered a technical advisor for the movie Eddie and the Cruisers from the 80s?
That's correct. I got an offer to do some things for a movie, and I always wanted to see what it's like, not so much backstage, but behind the cameras. You know, I'm fascinated by how movies are made and the interactions with people. And it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it. But I was asked to come in and as to whether or not things were authentic. In other words, I got the equipment for them so they would look like the right age and taught some guys to look like they were playing guitar and bass and all that stuff. And I just became part of the crew. I did playback on some things. And I led the audience in clapping because they all were clapping off time. So, you know, it was just, I was kind of, you know, all around. The utility is for that.
You've actually been involved with quite a few movies and TV shows in addition to Eddie and the Cruisers. You're actually the band in the movie Adventures in Babysitting. Plus, you were on The Sopranos. And recently, you were on Showtime's Billions. How did you get all those gigs? Where, like, there's so much Hollywood to a guy from New Jersey.
Well, a lot of them were filmed here, you know. I mean, Eddie and the Cruisers is the billionaires out of Long Island. So, you know, I'm always available for the interesting things. I don't know. You know, there was just a period when I got involved in it, and a number of people I knew were working in Hollywood. I got phone calls, and if I had time for us on the road, I'd do it just because it was interesting and adventurous, you know. And that paid well, but it's the idea of doing these things is fun.
And it lends an air of authenticity to it, because that's really what I would imagine. Like, that's what you're all about.
Caesar did All My Children once. Wait, you know, the soap opera. A billion years ago, because they wanted a band to play for the prom or New Year's or whatever. I don't remember exactly what. And that was interesting, too. I mean, you think soap operas. I don't like soap operas. But you go there and you see how professional the stage manager and all the cameramen, they're just, they get the thing done in like a half an hour. It seems like just really, it was amazing to see how organized they were. We weren't, but they were.
Well, you know, it really goes to the heart. You're still a working band.
Yeah, we work all the time. Like you say, we just got back. We did 10,000 miles in 7 days. Our seven shows, 10,000 miles in 9 days or 10 days. A lot of work. And then you come home and you sleep for 11 hours, which was what I did yesterday.
You'll have plenty of rest between now. Sunday night, you're going to be at the Ridgefield Playhouse. You can get tickets at ridgefieldplayhouse.org for Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. Now, your buddy, John Bon Jovi, next week is actually going to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's long overdue. Have you been in touch with John about it?
Yeah, I called him up once I heard about it, and I called him a number of names and said, you know, I was so happy for him. I mean, I know it's something he wanted, and he's worked his butt off. I mean, they really work on stage, and they've worked for years and years, and they, you know, they made it on their own in a lot of ways. I admire them. I'm glad they're going in. I think it's the right thing to do. Hell, if the Mamas and the Papas could be in, why not Bon Jovi?
They have a couple of inductees that are sort of questionable.
Yeah, everybody has the one guy they're in, and, you know, the other isn't. I don't get involved in that yet, so if I figure whatever makes people happy is okay with me.
Have you seen Bruce on Broadway yet?
No, I have not. I've had some days off where I could go, but the idea of going to see a show after working so much, you know, I just don't really want to do it. I'd love to see the show, but I'd have to be in New York at the time and go and all that. He's extended it, though, so he may just put a cot out on stage and sleep there, and I'll get a chance to see it.
If you can get a ticket, it's like the hardest ticket to get.
Well, I think I probably know somebody who's getting it.
Why do you think the Jersey Shore sound has endured so long? Bruce, Bon Jovi, yourself still going strong. In May, Stephen Van Zandt's going to also be at the Ridgefield Playhouse. What has really kept it alive?
Pure fear. We're afraid we have to get a real job. No, I think it's just, you know, be honest with what you do and work hard at it. I mean, you get on stage, you got an audience. There's no sense of just taking it easy. You got to go out there and work. But it's also the great joy of being able to play in front of an audience. That's what you're going to. It just can't be going through the motions. Otherwise, it's the worst job in the world. There's nothing worse than being bored on stage because you lose the whole enjoyment of it.
Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, Sunday night at the Ridgefield Playhouse. Tickets available at ridgefieldplayhouse.org. Johnny, thank you for spending a few minutes with me.
Well, thank you, Al. I'll see you up there.